All right, all right, all right. Here, we will be in Philippians chapter 3. Yes, men, it was me. I jammed the paper towel machine in the restroom. Sorry if you didn't get any. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Humility, humility. It's a joy for me to be here and to share with you. I've had the opportunity through the years to do that, and it's been a blessing. So I'm looking forward to that. Before we get started, though, I'd like to pray for our time in the Word. Also, a selfish prayer for my brother Josh, who's covering for me in Kobe. He's probably about halfway done right now, so I want to lift him up. And also the team out there in Malawi. Many of you sacrificed and have given to the missions trip. I know you already know this, but those who stay with the stuff are just as blessed as those who go out and minister. And you'll both reap the same reward. So praise the Lord for that. So anything that happens in Malawi goes into your account if you've joined in with that work. What a blessing that is that the Lord knows. So, Father, we pray that you would bless this time in your word. Lord, we pray for my brother Josh. Lord, he's just doing all he can to minister to whoever showed up today in Kobe, and I'm just blessed by him. I pray, Lord, that you would infuse him with your spirit now. And, Father, obviously, I don't know what kind of ministry is going on or if the guys and Gail are chilling in Africa right now or just getting some information. We do pray, Lord, that you would hold their hand through this journey and divinely guide them, as we have well noted today, that sometimes plans go a different direction than we'd hope, and we pray, Lord, you give them flexibility and power to meet the challenge. And we would really love for you to minister to us this morning. I think there's no greater joy in our lives than when you invest in us, that we hear your voice, that we know you've touched us, that you've personally invaded into our situations. And so we're asking, Lord, for you to minister to your people. Lord, you said you didn't come to serve or to be served, but you came to serve. And Lord, we're still in need of your service. So wash our feet, lift our hands, and lift our eyes towards heaven. We pray. Amen. Well, I've got 2 weeks with you, so what we'll do is probably spend the 2 weeks in the same portion of Scripture, but with two different applications. One is going to be on the pitfalls of our progress in our walk with Christ, and then next week will be the plan for progress in our walk with Christ, all found in Philippians chapter 3, and I'm looking forward to that. So why don't we just get started here? I'll read a portion from verse 7 to the end of the chapter. We'll comment on 12 through 21 briefly. What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Paul the Apostle speaking. But indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God, by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to even subdue all things to himself. I had the privilege this August of dropping my daughter off in New York City at FIT, the Fashion Institute of Technology. I didn't know fashion was technologically sound or even technical, but apparently it is. We had visited on a Sunday, and our task was to get from 56th Street, where the church was, to 27th, where FIT was. It's a straight shot down Broadway, and then cut over across a couple of avenues, and bam, you're there. Piece of cake. Knowing I had to take a right some 20, 30 blocks down that way, I stayed in the right. Bad mistake. Double parked delivery vehicles, even on a Sunday. I'm like, oh, what a drag. I mean, they're like flashers. Now I got a stream of taxis. Can't get by them. Can't get in them. I can't nudge my way through. I'm trying. Well, I finally get into the flow. And then a couple of blocks down, you got this massive building in the middle of Broadway. I'm like, what happened to the road? Fortunately, they made a little curve and under the building and around it to continue on Broadway. I was like, that's strange. They just build roads under buildings here, I guess. I don't know. We finally get to 27th Street, and we're like, oh, finally, we're there. It's going to be awesome. Except for 27th Street was blocked. There was a barricade in my way. Did that stop me? No, not really. I've got my daughter going to college, and I'm going to get her there. So I gently speak to the NYPD, this stone-faced gal that was standing at the barricade. I said, I've got to get my daughter to college, and you will promptly let me in. No, and actually, I was just very humble about the whole thing. Please, I need to get her there. So with a stone face, she looks and opens the barricade. I'm like, whoa, I got some pull here in New York City. NYPD is opening up barricades for me. Awesome, until I find myself facing a parade. I'm like, whoa, why did this cop let me in here? And it's some Muslim Arab parade with big angry signs. I'm like, uh-oh. And they're dissembling around us. We're like, whoa. And this is a one-way street in New York City. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I bang a Yui on the one way and go out away from the parade and then finally get back on Broadway and go a few blocks, get to 27th again where the college is. It's barricaded. I'm like, come on. What is up with these people here? So the guard told me, look, you got to go two blocks down and come up over and then get in line. And there's this huge line. Now I know why they call it FIT, because I had a fit. I had an absolute fit. I was like, this stupid city. I share that story because we know where we want to go in Christ. We see where he wants to lead us, but sometimes we're hindered by blockades, by landmines, whatever, espionage, whatever, NYPD that just are probably chuckling in their heart. Yeah, I'll let you through. You know, I don't know. There's just always some sort of a hindrance to getting where we need to go in Christ and in our walk. And it's a difficult journey. So what I'd like to do is kind of highlight some of our difficulties, kind of face them head on, and then maybe we can eliminate them so that next week we can put out a plan for progress in Christ. Now, Paul is writing to the Philippians in this particular portion. He is in prison, and the Philippian believers are facing some difficulty. They're facing some persecution. Their beloved apostle is in jail at the time. They're wondering what to do and what direction to go, I'm sure. And they get this incredible letter of encouragement and joy from Paul. And he told them to beware of some of the people that might come in and really try to subvert the fellowship. He called them dogs. He called them evil workers. Earlier in the chapter, he called them mutilators. I mean, and you can always tell these type people in a church, their dogs are always marking their territory and barking every time you get near what they're doing, you know, or they're always trying to work their way in and subvert anything good that's going on in the church, or they're mutilators. Now, of course, Paul was talking about people who wanted the Gentiles circumcised for righteousness, but really you could tell them too, today they're the same. They're the people always cutting on the body, always cutting the body down, and it's just like, come on, people. But although they are very pronounced at times in our Christian journey, I believe that the greatest enemy we face is really ourselves. And how we process life as we journey with Christ until the end where he comes in his glorious appearing. And I don't know about you, but I had hoped that Jesus would have returned by now, but he has not. I'm 46. I got saved at 26, so I'm 20 now. Praise the Lord. I've been walking with him. But I thought that he was going to come back by the time I was 30, so I didn't care about life insurance or anything. 46. You know, come on, come on. Hurry up the program. Well, through these 20 years, you know, we face challenges. I don't know if you've been in the Lord 1 year, 2 weeks, 10 years, 30 years. We all have challenges that we face. And so let's just take a look at a couple of the challenges that might hinder us from our walk. The first one I find here is in verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. One of the things that stop us in our walk with Christ is the fact that we are so far off the mark. I mean, if you look in the mirror and then you look at Jesus and you look at the mirror and you look at Jesus, you're like, whoa, I got so far to go. This is such a journey. It's almost like when you're taking a family vacation, you got the kids in the back and they're like, are we there yet? Or how many miles? How long is it going to be? And we just like left 5 minutes ago. Come on, man. And so you play all your little games, you know, the alphabet game. You're doing, I'm taking this to the picnic game, the yellow car game. It's like whatever game. It's just like, and then you're 10 miles down the road, and you're like, ah, this is such a long journey. What a drag. Sometimes it does get long and arduous. It's hard. And you seem far off. Not only does the journey seem long, but sometimes we find ourselves in this journey insufficient, or incapable, or untrained. And we wonder if the Lord really lost his mind when he took us into the kingdom anyway. It's like, come on, I'm really not all that. Why did you grab me? I'm not like you. Why did you love me? And yet, even through all of that, he still wants to use us. He wants to use us even in all of our insecurities and all of our inabilities. We haven't attained it. Don't set yourself on a shelf just because you aren't. You might recall Moses. Remember him? He was the guy who was raised in the palace, and he was Mr. Show-off. I'm going to go redeem my people. And then he ended up murdering somebody and running as a fugitive. 40 years in the desert, burning bush. All of a sudden, Moses before the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord says to Moses, I have heard the cries of my people. And Moses says, yeah, I heard them too. It was terrible to hear the moms crying about their kids and getting chucked into the rivers and stuff like that. It's just terrible, you know? I've seen the affliction of my people. I've seen it too. I've seen the whip. Ow. You know, I can relate to that. I see it. He says, I want to deliver these people. And you could just see Moses just cheering. Yeah, yeah, finally, yeah. And then I'm sending you. And it's like, no, 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 no. Wrong guy. Can't speak. Remember? Just get somebody else. I'm all into this deliverance stuff. I tried it. I failed miserably. Don't pick me. You got a better guy somewhere. But indeed, obviously, we see that God miraculously did move through Moses, through miraculous things that Moses could never do on his own. And so don't discount that God can do something beyond our ability, beyond our progress, and the simple things. I think of a guy in our fellowship. This guy, such an encouragement to me. He's 1 year old in the Lord. 1 year ago, he was a paranoid schizophrenic, okay? Diagnosed in his apartment, just kind of about everything. He calls up the crisis hotline. Somebody from our congregation works on Friday night and gets the call, hears his trouble, shares the Lord with him, and he gets saved. Awesome! Next thing you know, we got a paranoid schizophrenic at church. but different and redeemed, a new person in Christ Jesus. Awesome! This guy is just such an incredible shot and boost to our fellowship. He doesn't even know it. Absolutely changed. We're actually holding midweek home fellowships at his house. He's got like 12 people around his couches and stuff. And here's a guy that was hiding from everybody and all of a sudden has them coming to his house. What a radical transformation. But the thing that blesses me the most about this guy, that this guy taught us, all us seasoned people, how to pray so pure, so childlike, so fresh, so unreligious. He doesn't know anything about prayer, but it's just a blessing. I just go to the prayer meeting just to hear him pray simply and thankful, oh, and praiseworthy and simple. Oh, what a blessing. God is using somebody in a radical way who has had zip training, didn't read all the books. Awesome. So don't discount that you haven't attained or you haven't arrived yet. God will still use you. Don't set yourself on a shelf. Make yourself available. Now, second thing is this. Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. The past, cruel master, really is. The past hinders people so much in their walk with Christ. They always think about what they were or what they couldn't do or who did this to them or who did that to them. But there's two aspects to the past. Not only our failures, not only who we were, but also there's this whole glory day past that we hold to. So let's look at this. We'll look at the glory days and maybe the backstory a little bit. The glory days, some people hold to them. It hinders them. They're always thinking about, man, how awesome it was like 10 years ago when I was in this fellowship and the pastor, woo, awesome, and fellowship was sweet, and ministry was awesome, and baptisms were happening, and was like, yeah, this is like Christian experience to the max. I mean, this is great stuff. And that 10 years later, they're like, now they're meeting at a Dunkin' Donuts at 6 a.m. with four different guys from four different churches just to kind of get some fellowship, you know? I mean, oh, what a drag. And so if we were to live on the glory days, sometimes we miss what God is doing today. Always looking back at what God used to do instead of what he wants to do today. We're always comparing rather than being compelled. We're always trying so hard to regain what is not no longer available to us. Paul could have done this. Hey, man, I planted churches. I healed people with handkerchiefs. Yeah. I'm awesome. No, but now he's in prison. He could have said, oh, what a drag this is. Come on, fellas. Hey, you prayed and Peter got out. How come you guys ain't praying for me? You know, he could have discounted what God wanted to do in him and through him while he was in prison, and he had to embrace his prison. Matter of fact, he says, all of this thing worked out for the best anyway. You can't believe it. The palace guard knows about Christ. Everybody knows about Christ. Finally, Jesus got him penned in and pulled in, and now he can finally use him. All right, I guess I'll just write a few letters. And guess what? 2K later, we're still drawing from his embracing of a present day situation. Don't allow the glory days hinder you from today. Also, there's the past of the backstory. Oh, God can't use me. You don't know who I was. You don't know the dysfunction in my family. Ooh, if you knew, you wouldn't even let me in this church. Really? God obviously takes broken people, fixes them, and uses them. That's the plan. He didn't come for all the well people. He came for the sick people. There is dysfunction in everyone's family. I know of this one guy. He had a real dysfunctional family. Dude, he had some like people in his his ancestry that married a half-sister. What a drag that was, you know? And then had some kids, a sniveling, cheating, I'm going to get all I can kind of kid who had 12 kids from four different women. Mercy. It's a terrible thing going on here. Two of the kids go crazy because their daughter was like defiled and they murdered a whole city of men. And then, they get into this like situation where they finally move and maybe get a clear start again. And so old Joshua's there and he goes and redeems this harlot who hooks up with one of the guys from the fellowship. Oh, man. And then you got people being born and the child of the harlot all of a sudden marries this Gentile dog and the Moabite kind of what? And then David. Oh. Bright spot, not. There's this adulterous affair, murder of a husband. Oh, what a drag. Child of that relationship, Solomon. Solomon was such an awesome king, not. Built so many idol worshiping centers for his many gals. His offspring, no better. Bunch of kings, didn't do well. Deported, brought back. Now the line is obscure, dysfunctional, and silent for quite a while. And then Joseph, this nice little carpenter guy, hooks up with this gal who's found with child. No dad in the picture. Whoa, I'm sure her life wasn't exactly easy. I'm sure she was ridiculed and mocked because, hey, you know, they did the math. Didn't work out. Jesus enters. Oh, praise the Lord. And doesn't Jesus enter into everyone's dysfunction? Doesn't he come in and redeem all of that past and then use it for a glorious future? Hey, your past can't be any worse than anything that Jesus had to deal with. I mean, he did not have relatives he could be proud of, okay? But he entered in. Don't let the past stop you. Let Jesus enter into the dysfunction and fix it. Now, third, it's an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Anybody clue into this yet, that your walk with Christ is kind of uphill? I mean, you hope for those nice little, you know, coasting events where you can just, but they are rare. Most of the time, it's an uphill journey. And it's hard, it takes effort, and sometimes it takes determination. I got a call from the energy guy at school. He said, man, some of your fans are running. You need to shut these things down. We got to save our energy. I said, I'll be right there. I live at the bottom of the hill from the school. The school is right up at the top. It's about an eighth of a mile. I said, don't worry. I'll put on my running sneakers. I'll be right there. I charged up that hill, and I got about a third of the way up, and I started... And by the time I got to the top of the hill, I could barely move. I nearly coughed up a lung. I mean, I was like, you know, I was like, oh, man, I'm out of shape. This is terrible. And that hill just about got me, you know. I don't know if any of you are runners. I'm not. But Boston Marathon, hey, 24 miles. A lot of people attempt it. About 20 miles in, after going a long span, there's what they call the Heartbreak Hill. It's 0.4 miles of just incline, and it knocks a lot of the racers out. And they're just, like, devastated. We've run so hard, we've run so far, and all of a sudden you're faced with the heartbreak hill. And you know, we prayed for a gal today who's facing a heartbreak hill. There are people out there, maybe you are finding yourself, man, it's been tough, it's been a long journey, I'm not quite there yet, I'm facing the worst situation I've ever faced before in my entire life, this uphill battle to walk with Christ. Everyone eventually hits a heartbreak hill. Tragedy can strike. I got a family in our fellowship right now. Can't believe the things they're going through. Obviously, everybody is aware of the floods that happened last fall. Their house was right by the river. Water threw, ruined his occupation because he was a cabinet maker. All of his tools gone. Ruined their house. It's totally devastated, but FEMA did not condemn it, so now they're left with trying to fix this thing that nobody will ever buy, and they were hoping to move to Arizona. 4 weeks later, she gets tripped by the dog, goes to the hospital, and they find she's got leukemia. Now she's got radiation, chemo, and hasn't been home for almost 2 months. And all of this, boom, and you talk about a heartbreak hill. But there's one thing that life never counts on, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit to be a wind at your back, to give you the strength to get up the hill and get over this hurdle. God wants to enter into your uphill journey with him, and he wants to give you strength. This family, I have never seen such strength, some calm, this peace. She's ministering. I went to the hospital to minister to her. She ministered to me. Absolutely a blessing. God will be there in the journey and the uphill battles. So if you haven't attained, don't set yourself on a shelf. If the past is dragging you down, either glory or backstory, don't let that stop you. Don't let the hill stop you. God is with you. Now, verse 15. There's this thought of attaining, and if anyone else thinks otherwise. There were some mature believers that thought they had arrived. They are all of a sudden the super Christian who has somehow conquered this whole walk thing, and we've made it. And you poor saps, what's a problem with you? And you always know those people who think they arrive because they have all the answers, none of the questions, and know exactly how to run your life with Christ. Right? You've met them. I've met them. I've been one. Oh, yeah, there was a time where I had arrived. Oh, man, was I arrived. I tell you what, I was functioning, man. I had the esteem of people in the church. I had deacon ministry. I had soundboard ministry. I had youth ministry going. I was being groomed for the pastorate. I'm just like, yeah, I'm arriving. 3 years old in the Lord. My pastor calls me to help him plant a church in Vermont. I'm like, come on, man. I'm on the fast track. Boy. I am just arrived in the kingdom. As the next verse says, God will reveal even this to you, that we haven't arrived. I got there. I'm going in faith. $400. No job. No house. Little child. Wife. We're good. A lot of rice later. Hotel, no place to live later. I'm like, maybe I haven't arrived. Maybe I've got some things to learn. Maybe the Lord just decided to take that rug and go, foop, and watch me like Charlie Brown going like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I've just missed the football somehow. And I'm flying, and I'm on my back, and I'm not sure what to do. My favorite verse of scripture, my life verse in my tender age of 3, was, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live. Christ lives in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith. Faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me. And I was like, take the hill. After I got to Vermont, it was Proverbs 30, verse 2. I'm more stupid than any man. I haven't learned nothing. I haven't even the knowledge of the Holy One. You know, just like I'm still there. I'm working my way back to Galatians 2:20, but I'm still like not there yet. So God has a way of revealing that we won't ever arrive until He comes for us. He's faithful. He will finish the work He started, but we will never arrive until He transforms this lowly body into a glorious body. And so be careful of the arrival mentality. It's a bummer. It's a bummer. And you think an uphill journey with Christ is hard in humility? Try it with pride. Ooh, God resists the proud. Now it's Heartbreak Hill with a 15-mile-an-hour gale in your face. You're like, it's like, ooh, I don't like that kind of resistance. So try to avoid that. Let me see. Number five. So we haven't attained. Let go of the things behind. It's an upward battle. We'll never arrive. And number five, it says of these enemies of the cross of Christ that their God was their belly. Oh, the shame of it all. Now, this isn't written to people with healthy appetites. You know, it's more of written to people who are driven by internal passions that can never be satisfied. They just continue in excess in whatever direction they go. I had a birthday in October, and I was going to celebrate. So me and my bride, we went to the Red Apple Buffet. Unlimited Chinese food. And, oh, unlimited supply of General Tso's chicken. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get me some. Woo! 4 plates later, I'm like, oh. You know, when we walked into that place, that sweet little Chinese gal that sat us, so nice. Can I get you a table? Yeah. Whew. When I was walking out of that place, all of a sudden, she took this hideous form of some judgmental Chinese. You gluttonous American. I'm like, I know. I know. Here's my card. You know, I just wanted to die, man. I just so overstuffed myself. I wanted to undo my top button, you know? But I was wearing elastic, so... No, just kidding. Just kidding. That's my brother's face. I so fed my flesh, man, that was just, like, shameful. There's nothing wrong with getting down, but I got down, you know. And there was just, like, a shame and a remorse afterwards. Like, why did I eat so much? I feel horrible. And then all of a sudden the guilt started. It's like, oh, man, I know I shouldn't have done that. Oh, mercy. And, you know, and then you're kind of sluggish. You don't want to do anything. Irritable. Don't talk to me. Not till the general Tso's chicken's gone. But there's that thing. When we continue to feed our passions, they really hinder us from the work of the Lord. I mean, I didn't want to witness to nobody. All I wanted to do was lay on my couch. Get away from me. Stop it. Stop looking at me. Stop. I know it. You know, there's just that thing. And people do that today. There's a need somehow for this unsatisfiable urge. And I'm just making fun with food, but it's everywhere. I mean, you could just plug it. You know, we all know the biggies, whether it's the internet and lust and all of that. I mean, people struggle with that, but it's really just a fleshly urge that's unsatisfied that the people go after. There's no satisfying. Jesus said, if you thirst, come to me and you will never thirst again. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give rest for your souls. And that's what people are looking for. They're looking for a measure of satisfaction that will finally give them rest, but they find that they don't find it. It just brings shame. It says here that their glory was their shame. It was remorse, and it's terrible. You know, and there's people out there that just need, well, even if it's not all the biggies, like, people out there that just live for affirmation or affluence or some sort of pat on the back or status symbol. I mean, they're just killing themselves day in and day out living for their internal passions and find themselves broke. Be careful, be careful, be careful of allowing your internal passions to rule and dictate your life. It is one of the greatest hindrances to Christ's work. And then lastly, here it says that they set their mind on earthly things. They're living for earth and earth alone. I mean, earth is cool. I mean, I love like the ocean, the waves, and especially around sunset time, and they got those little pastel hues that are hitting the water, and the dolphins jumping. I'm like, hey, Earth is pretty slick then, man. I like it, you know, and I like butterflies and seeds and trees and flowers and plants, and I don't like so much this that's out there now. But anyway, Earth is okay. I like it. There's many things to enjoy. It says that we could richly enjoy all things, and it's a good thing, but to live for Earth, oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. I don't care who you are or where you are or what you think your paradise is. You pick a spot. You get there. Maybe paradise is some little deserted island where you're just chilling with your little hammock and everything's cool. Watch out. Sand fleas will be there in no time. Or you'll get some native jump out of the bush and scare you half to death. I mean, there's just, Earth is Earth. And there is no paradise. And it'll never satisfy. Living for earth. Jesus taught us about the danger of those people who let the earth consume them. He told it in a parable about the seed and the sower, and one of the seeds that fell into the thorns that never could grow and be fruitful because they were always concerned about the affairs of this life. You know, danger. Older people in the Lord. I know I'm kind of midway there, 46. Oh, maybe I'm almost to the end. It depends on what the Lord wants to do. But, you know, mid-40s, okay. But, you know, I'm not as gamey as I used to be. I'm not so quick to run out there and take a risk anymore. I start to think about ramifications and weighing pros and cons, where it used to be, if the Lord spoke, I was gone. See ya! Out there, there's a risk in age in living for earth because we're not as likely to take steps of faith. We weigh things out. We're worried about 401ks or if there's a good HMO in town or whatever. You know what I'm saying? There's so many things we start to weigh that are more important than the kingdom of God. And there's a danger. I love Chuck Smith. He's just awesome. Of course, the Lord's used him mightily. 85. Lung cancer, you probably have heard that. Radiation chemo, Chuck Smith, Calvary Chapel. I talked to Joey, goes there on Sunday mornings because he has a Saturday night service. He said, Chuck is still bringing it. And he found a new gear, man. He is just fired up. He can see the tape. He's got past Heartbreak Hill, and he's running towards the end, and he's like, I'm going to bust my heart for Christ all the way. Joey said you wouldn't even know he was sick. 85. 85. Every Sunday, bringing it. Phenomenal. Don't let age stop you and earth stop you. Earth has this like gravitational pull that just wants to weigh you right down so we can't move, we can't run, we can't do anything. Young people, hey, you're apt to probably take steps of faith and really run. I mean, you're apt to do all that stuff, but earth can get you too. Because you have everything to look forward to. You're thinking about, hey, you know, when I graduate, this is the college I got to go to. I'm going to get my little training, get my little stuff, set up my little pad. Oh, man, what's the latest fashion, man? I got to catch me some of that so that I look and appear cool so that I'm not too old, you know, or not too young kind of thing right there. And you start living for relationships. You start living for your career. You start looking forward. And boom, next thing you know, you've missed the whole plan of God because now you're focused on earth. God has such a huge plan for young, middle, old. There. Save myself there a little bit. Earth weighs us down. So if you haven't arrived, Jesus has. And you know what? He's praying for us. He's up there making intercession. The past, it's covered by the blood of Christ, and it is nailed to a cross, and it is completely wiped away. So no matter what your backstory is in Christ, it's a brand new day. You got a brand new start, just like Anna Green Gables. It's a brand new day with no mistakes in it. Until, of course, she opens her mouth. But still, that's just the way it is. Uphill journey, yes, but we have a wind behind your back to aid us on the journey. No, we will never arrive, but someday he will transform this lowly body into a great and glorious and fashion us and equip us for an eternal joy. Instead of the flesh, we could live for the Spirit and experience miraculous, wonderful works that God wants to do in our life to redeem this uphill journey. And then finally, he can lift us through the stratosphere. He can clip these chains of the gravitational pull and allow us to really fly. He said, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else will come into line. Everything else will merge in, and we'll be able to enjoy our relationships. We'll be able to enjoy life more. And I just wanted to leave you one time before we pray and have the musicians come back up, close us out. The nice little hymn kind of sums up our story. It's called Higher Ground. It says this: I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts are at me hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I pray till heaven I've found, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. O Lord Jesus,